Welcome to Pursuit Church Podcast, where we give those far from God the opportunity to pursue Christ. We are so glad you are here, and wherever you're listening from, we believe God has a word for you through today's message.
It's going to be in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, we're going to start with verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Today, I want to speak on this subject. Will you be at the meeting? You may be seated, church. Will you be at the meeting? Church life is full of meetings, work meetings, church meetings, prayer meetings, family meetings. We meet with the doctor when we're sick, and we meet with the mechanic when our car or trucks broke down. We meet with the HVAC person, the HVAC technician when the AC unit goes out. Ever been there? When the AC units went out here in Arkansas, it's not easy. Gets hot quick. Meet with the barber when we need a haircut. Meet with the accountant during tax time. Meet with the boss when we want a raise. Meet with the drive-through worker when we want to pick up something real fast, don't want to make something at the home. Meet with the gas station attendant when we want to get and pay for gas. Meet with the cashier at the grocery store. If you're in school, you meet with your teacher. Maybe sometimes you get to meet with the principal. Has anyone ever been fortunate enough to have a one-on-one meeting with the principal when you were in school? Yeah, I've been there. I think it was first or second grade. Breaking the rules, acting like a heathen. I got into a fight, went to the principal's office, got a paddling, got sent home, was suspended for the rest of the week for getting in a fight. See, I have a past too. So many meetings in life. Even the Bible records many great meetings. When Moses danced with Israel on the side of the Red Sea, it was this meeting of rejoicing and worship. When Moses was on Mount Sinai, he met with the Lord. When Elijah overcame the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, it was a spiritual meeting. When David would dance before the Lord in Jerusalem as the ark would come in, it was a praise and worship meeting. When Solomon would dedicate the temple, the glory of God came down. The very holy presence of God fell. It was a meeting. When John the Baptist preached by the shores of Jordan, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John was meeting with lost souls with a life-changing message. When Jesus himself fed the 5,000, with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. It was a meeting of the miraculous. And since today is Pentecost Sunday, we can't forget about that meeting on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. What a meeting that must have been to be in that upper room as the Holy Spirit would fall upon men and women for the very first time in the New Testament, and thus the church age that we live in today would begin, and the Lord's promise would be fulfilled that in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. It's an important meeting, a meeting with the Lord. That's one of the most important meetings that we can have, a spiritual meeting with God. After meeting God at the altar of repentance and after meeting the Lord in baptism and taking on the name of Jesus as our sins are washed away, we can then meet the Lord in spirit and be endued with that same power that fell on the 120 in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. All important meetings. But none of these even come close to compare to the meeting that is soon to come. Church, there is going to be a meeting in the air. There was an old hymn that goes, there's gonna be a meeting in the air. Oh, sweet by and by. Going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing we will hear, never heard by mortal ear. Glorious, I do declare, God's own Son will be the one leading at that meeting in the air. Heard of little Moses in the bulrush, heard of fearless David with his sling, heard of the story told of dreaming Joseph, Jonah in the well you often sing. There are many others in the Bible. I'd love to meet them all, I do declare. By and by, the Lord will let us meet them all at that meeting in the air. Church, I proclaim today that one of these days, there is going to be a holy spiritual meeting in the air. In Malachi chapter 3, it says, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and them that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I take up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serves him. There is no meeting ever held or ever will be held as grand as when the Lord Jesus comes and takes up his precious children, his jewels. Now, everything in history has been working its way toward that great and glorious day. Since Adam and Eve, mankind has been marching step by step up this grand stairway leading directly to that great meeting in the sky. The call of Abraham was one step toward it. Jacob and his 12 sons were another. Joseph ruling in Egypt was another. The deliverance under Moses was another. The conquest of Canaan under Joshua was another. Every event in history has been pointing toward that great and glorious day. It was for this that Jesus suffered on the cross to make atonement for us. It was for this that he arose from the dead and he ascended into the heavenlies. It was for this that the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost. It was for this that churches have been organized all over the world and has been growing, and missionaries have been sent to all the ends of the earth. All of these things, all have been done to prepare the way and lead up to the meeting which Paul so graphically described in the scripture. Saying, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, the church, us who are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with our Jesus. It was for this that God made his plans before he laid the very foundations of the earth. It was all about this meeting, this glorious, holy, spiritual, wonderful, victorious meeting that is soon to come. In the beginning, when God spoke light into existence and he formed the seas, he fashioned the land, he created mankind and the animals and the plants and the trees and food and everything that we know that exists today. When he put the stars in their place and he put the moon in its place and he perfectly placed the earth in its perfect position in outer space so that we could survive. And when he hand drew all of the elements of outer space and the galaxies that surround us, when he was doing all of this at the very beginning, God's mind was already thinking about that wonderful meeting in the sky that is soon to come. Now in scripture, we're not told exactly when this meeting will take place, but we are told by Jesus himself to watch and pray. In Matthew 24, it says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Listen, this isn't Peter talking. This isn't Paul or James or John. This isn't any of the apostles. This is Jesus proclaiming that I am coming at an hour that you do not expect. Simply, the Lord cannot be any more clear about this, church. I am coming in a season. I am coming at a day. He's speaking to the church. I am coming at an hour that you do not expect. And what is extremely concerning is that we are already living in a world with so many signs that do tell us that we are living in the last days. Yet, there is such an unconcerned attitude about the coming of Christ. Truly, it is a false confidence that everything will always go as how it always has been, and everything will always be okay whether I'm serving God or not. The Bible predicted the very attitude in 2 Peter, saying, "Scoffers will come in the last days, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things just seem to continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this, they willfully forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water, and in the water by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water in the day of Noah. But the heavens and the earth, which are now this world, is now being preserved by the same word, God's word, and is being reserved for fire unto the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as of 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some of us understand slackness, but is long-suffering toward you and me and everybody else and every single soul, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so every person has a choice. Do we buy into the thinking of academic culture and the belief that we're all random beings on a random planet, randomly living and surviving until we die, and that's it. And everything else was pointless. And that spiritual attack I felt this morning was pointless. It's not actually real. Or we can trust the prophetic nature of God's holy word, that word, that this is all a God thing. This really is a spiritual thing. We really are facing an attack of the enemy, but we really do belong to Jesus, and the victory really is ours. Now, there are many and really sometimes hard to understand prophecies over the end times. But concerning this meeting in the air, this event is very clear. We talk so much about different events in God's word, but this soon coming meeting, it almost seems surreal, so people don't talk about it. Some say that it's not important. Some say that it's not a big deal. Some say it's misinterpreted. But to the early church, those early believers, this meeting in the sky, it was their blessed hope. It was their blessed hope. Had Jesus said, you know, I'll be back in a couple thousand years, no one would have ever started to look until now, today. But he kept the time secret so that every people and every generation would watch. Comfort one another with these words, he says, and watch, 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 because there's a soon coming meeting in the sky. There's a trumpet that you're gonna hear. It's gonna blow over the world. There's an army of people that's gonna rise. There's gonna be a victory dance in the sky. Are you watching? Are you ready? Are you looking for that glorious spiritual meeting in the sky? I don't think that it is possible to believe that we're where God wants us to be until we are in a place of watching. I am convinced that we will know when a person has fully given their life to God. You know why? Because they'll say something like, I'm watching. I'm watching. I'm watching for my King. I'm watching for the coming of my Lord and Savior. I'm watching for my Jesus. We know a lukewarm Christian doesn't watch. Person that's just going through the motions, they're not watching. Person that's been trying to hold on to something that God's told them to let go of, they're not watching. Only those who are ready with a made-up mind, like I talked about last week, and a made-up heart, they're the only ones watching, because by watching, we're anticipating and expecting that at any moment, any second of the day, any time of the night, and when I wake up or when I go to sleep, it doesn't matter. I might find myself in the sky meeting with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Some say, well, the rapture won't happen until this and that happens. And I truly do believe that it's dangerous to think like that. Jesus didn't speak like that. He spoke that I could come at any moment. Many in Noah's day probably thought that all was well before the day of the flood. Scripture says they ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given to marriage until that day of Noah. And Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. They were living life just as usual. Scripture says, likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It's interesting because Lot is this representation of God's mercy. One day God's mercy will be pulled away and judgment will come. Scripture goes on and says, even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. It ends with three words. Remember Lot's wife. that three-worded statement is given its own verse in Scripture. Luke chapter 17, verse 32, three words. Remember Lot's wife. She was not watching. She was the bride, but her mind was not on leaving because she was so in love with her world. She was so consumed in this temporary life. Jesus taught his disciples, be in constant expectation of my soon return. And it was these disciples who wrote the New Testament and made it clear there is going to be a great and glorious, awesome meeting in the sky. The question is, am I ready? Am I ready today for that meeting in the sky? Am I ready to hear the sound of the trumpet? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The catching away of the church will take place in a mere blink of an eye. And so I say again today, church, there is going to be a meeting in the sky. When the church rises up to meet him, we shall be like him. We shall be like him. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more anxiety, no more imperfections, nothing else. We will be like him and will become part of his royal family. And there we will be, shall we ever be with the Lord our Savior. So let me ask you, does it comfort you? Does it excite you? I can't wait. I can't wait. Does it put joy in your mind, in your heart? Does it make you glad? Can't wait for that sound of the trumpet. I'm waiting. I'm watching. Does it just thrill you to know that soon and very soon you're going to see the very face of Jesus? Or does it cause you anxiety? Because if it makes us feel uncomfortable, something in our own spirit may be letting us know, Daniel, you might not be ready. You may not be ready for the trumpet. You might not be ready for his coming. And oh, what a tragedy to have this opportunity here today and miss it. Hear me out, church. There's no shortcut. Jesus said we must repent and be born again of the water and the Spirit, for there is soon going to be a meeting in the air. Are you ready? Are you watching? Are you looking forward to his coming? 1 Peter 5 and 4, that when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. There's going to be a meeting in the air. And he saith unto me, in Revelation 22, verse 10, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of the book, for this time is at hand. Listen, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. For he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. Behold, I come quickly, Jesus says. There will be a time when you can no longer change your current state. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. Let he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. There's going to be a meeting in the air. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7, let us be glad. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife, the bride of Christ, the church, hath made herself ready. There is going to be an awesome meeting in the air. Today, church, the Spirit of God is calling. Are you going to make it to the meeting? Behold, the bridegroom cometh. The trumpet is about to sound. Are you going to make it to the meeting? Today, Christ is calling from the heavenlies. Child, make sure you're ready. Make sure you're ready. Behold, the time is at hand. I come quickly. We shall meet in the sky. Are you ready? Let's stand this morning, church. Very important point here. I think we should all understand this morning that God does not tug on anybody's heart or convict anybody that's not able to be saved. Today, the message was for everyone, myself included. There was nobody who is here in person or watching online that this word was not for. You can do whatever you want with the message today, but God fully intended for it to pass through your ears and for you to hear the message today. The people that heard the message today, they were all of the people that were supposed to hear the message. God knows what he's doing. And you need to know today, you need to understand this. Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for you. There's nobody too far gone. There's nobody too far lost. There's nobody too far damaged. There's nobody here today who's too broken or too messed up that God cannot easily save. But it is moments like this where the enemy goes to work, filling our minds with doubt and unbelief and condemnation and every worst, terrible thought that we could ever have during these precious, holy moments where God could use us and open up our heart is when the devil strikes our mind and gives us the most awful thought that we could even think of. And then telling you you're hopeless and you're too broken and you're too far gone. How can you think about something like that in the holy presence of God? How can you let your mind go there in his presence? But it was him. It was the devil. It was his spiritual attack putting a random thought in your mind and you couldn't do anything about it. And now he's saying you're too far gotten. You're forsaken. You're too far gone. His goal is so simple. Try to discourage you from believing the message, and so you won't run to Jesus. But hear me out again, church. I'm almost done. God does not minister nor preach to souls who are too far gone. You're not gonna hear a message like this if you weren't supposed to. In other words, you have a chance. You have an awesome opportunity. You have an open invitation to that glorious and wonderful spiritual meeting in the sky, or else God would have never let you hear this message today. You're hearing this message because God wants you to know and believe that Christ was enough. The cross was enough. The shed blood was enough. The sacrifice was enough. Jesus was enough to redeem and make you righteous through his precious blood. So come and find forgiveness at the cross. Come and find redemption at his feet. Come and find deliverance in his presence. Come and let God wash you in the blood. Come and let him fill you with his spirit. Why? because there's a soon coming meeting in the sky that you're not gonna wanna miss. You're gonna wanna make it to that meeting.
Thank you for joining us today. Be sure to subscribe and share this podcast with your friends. For more information about Pursuit, visit pursuitchurchar.com. Thank you for listening and see you next week.